go get a COVID-19 sports update. Dr. Ed Granolia, sports doc, family physician, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. He's our medical insider, been with us for over a decade, and also since the pandemic began in March. And Dr. K, welcome back, my friend. How you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Good. Everything going on that we've watched in baseball without the bubble. Cardinals are the latest, but they're back practicing. Marlins are back, even won the game last night after their COVID-19 break. When you look at baseball's return with COVID-19, when you look at what's happening right now with some of these football programs like Rutgers, what's your thought on the impact of COVID-19 and on these sports moving forward?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, but not surprising. I would have been more concerned if baseball had had, and it still could. We have to, you know, have to see week to week what goes on in any of these sports, frankly. But I'd be more concerned if each team had, you know, three or four people a week or a couple people a week, and then it was, you know, it seemed like it was sort of like maybe a lower level, but it was spread out. And that to me would be a sign that, you know, playing on the field isn't working because, you know, if players were getting it from the other team and then they were passing it to the next team they got. So the fact that it was a group of Cardinals and a group of Marlins, you know, suggests again that in general, baseball is doing a good job. On the field transmission appears to be probably zero. And that unfortunately it still takes doing the right thing as a human being, as a person, to try to lower the spread. Same with the Rutgers football. I think from what I understand, it was more of a kind of a get-together, a party situation. So, again, I'd be more concerned if there were these small amounts all over the place as opposed to some obvious amounts, but, you know, larger, more notable that way, but really traceable to a team or an event. And again, that's not surprising because, like we said before, there's a simple way to keep from spreading this, and that's wear a mask, physically distance, and wash your hands. And obviously sports make some of that a little bit different, but in general, we're seeing the transmission come from situations where people aren't doing those things.
The one thing we haven't seen outside of the Indiana football player's mother that said he was having some effects of post-COVID-19 infection, through Major League Baseball, through the comeback, through NFL training camps, through these college off-season workouts for all sports, we have not seen a lot of hospitalizations or any player go critical or had one fatality. How does that play in to sports moving forward with COVID-19 still out there?
Yeah, we know there's a risk. We know there's a risk of getting it. We know there's a risk of having, you know, short and long-term problems. But we also know that the risk is much lower, not zero, but much lower in those who are 20 or 25 and younger, which is, you know, the main group we're talking about as far as college and high school. I heard you talking with Mark earlier, but also at the professional level, you know, they're a little bit older, but in general still young. And we know that that group, again, no one's immune to it, so I don't want anybody to take away that I said young people can't get it or they can't transmit it, but that group is generally going to be more immune to it. And I think if the goal is to have zero cases at all, then you can't do anything. But if the goal is to be as healthy as possible, back to Mark, what Mark was saying, be as healthy as possible and taking in the entirety of the human being, then we have to understand there's some risk. But the good news is it appears to be that, as we suspected, the young people do really well with it.
And that goes back to the Marlins with, what was it, upwards of 19 players and coaches infected. I think St. Louis was somewhere around 13. That it didn't become, the COVID-19 did not grow to the point where it was life-threatening.
Correct. You know, and that, again, the good news is the reality is that it's a very deadly disease. People can have significant problems from it. But the age group, the demographic that we're looking at, that we're talking about right now, is the group that's going to have the least likely to, is least likely to have a problem. It isn't zero, so someone can still have a more significant problem. But you're exactly right. If you look across the country, athlete or non-athlete, young people do fare better. And that's just the reality of the situation.
The unknown is football because there's no blueprint. I know we've talked about this a couple of times. Nowhere in the world has tackle football come back, and you could say, look, they played and they didn't have any issues with a COVID-19 outbreak. If the risk isn't there for that age group, then why is there so much concern right now about COVID-19 connected to younger high school and college football players?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is I still think there's a lot of sort of misinformation and disinformation regarding, you know, that COVID isn't just like a yes or no. Like if you have it, it's bad, it's deadly, it's the worst thing in the world, and if you don't have it, then you're going to be fine. That we don't talk about it in a way that suggests that different age groups have different risks. We sort of talk about COVID is bad, and everything else. We have to do everything to not have people get it. And I think that, you know, it just leads, and the young people are also, even though they're the most likely to have a good outcome, they're also the most, the ones we want to protect the most. Not that we don't want to protect our elders and those, you know, who are older, but if you ask any parent or any adult, if you could have a problem or your child could have a problem, what would you pick? Every adult would say, give me the problem. I don't want my child to have it. So if there's any thought that a child, even though we know that they're going to fare better if they do get COVID, or they likely will, it still is just hard, and it almost seems like we're not doing the right thing by putting them in harm's way, even though the risk of harm is very, very low. It's just hard to wrap our minds around that sometimes.
If the risk isn't there in that age group, and even as you go younger and you go newborn to 19, it gets microscopic in terms of cases and fatalities in America with COVID-19, then why is there such a fight right now on and so many school districts saying we're going online in Michigan?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I'm not in each of those rooms and those discussions. I think some of it is, again, trying to protect the staff, the older teachers, you know, the people who are perhaps more vulnerable. I think, again, you know, it is a little bit of a lack of understanding of really the safety issues. I think there's still some discussion regarding the spread of the virus. If someone goes to school, a child, a student, and they come home and they have a parent or a grandparent or someone who's an immunocompromised at home, just how likely is it to transmit? I do think, you know, we talked about this before. We live in an information age, kind of an instant information age, but it's also an instant disinformation age, meaning you read a headline and it can be COVID related, it can be sports related or whatever, but unless you go digging into it, what you read in the headline might not actually be what's really going on. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people sort of living headline to headline, and there's probably more fear around this. And really not looking at the whole picture. There is the COVID piece of it, but there is the rest of life and health and fitness and being active. And I don't think we're doing a good job right now. Our leaders aren't doing a good job of sort of painting that picture. Everybody's afraid of saying something that, you know, that appears that you're not taking it seriously, and then you're going to be painted as someone who doesn't care. And I think some people in leadership positions are maybe struggling to really talk about the fact that there is some risk involved, but that's some risk that we may have to take, and it's too black and white. People try to make it too black and white.
And that would be based on taking a side, not talking about the color of one's skin. You're talking about just, you know.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize. I just wanted to make sure that we're talking about that people just take a side in this, and
yeah,
they stick with
absolutely.
It, and they're in. They won't look into the facts of this, and I get that, Dr. K. Fantastic information. We'll talk next week and get an update, my friend, okay?
Sounds good. Stay safe, everybody.
All right, Dr. Ed Granoli, a sports dog family physician, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. He's been our medical insider for over a year, and he tells it like it is. Well done, Dr. K. If you need more information about COVID-19 and sports, go to metrohealth.net.